To go. Sounds good to me. Sound good to you?
Yeah, sounds good.
Well, thanks. That was sure awesome worship.
Yeah, thank you. That was good.
Man. And the whole thing, not just the worship music, but the kids playing, it just kind of gives you freedom to worship. Tom, thank you for your word, gracious, because I want to be a gracious father and a gracious husband, and I'm going to study that myself, a gracious grandfather. And also thanks to Tempe. If you noticed, I kept inching closer to her as she danced because the Holy Spirit was dancing right with her. So that was great. So did y'all watch the horse race, the Kentucky Derby? Kathy, I know you did. You were betting on it, right? It's a little too late, but I thought, boy, there's so many scriptures about running the race. I should have went with that, but definitely we're pointing in a different direction today. But there is a good scripture in Galatians 5:7. It's funny because yesterday was the first time in 145 years the winning horse was disqualified for impeding other horses. It swayed, and so the horse that won was disqualified just for moving a little bit. And so the scripture in Galatians 5:7, Paul was talking to Galatians. He says, what happened? You were running a great race, and somebody got in your way. Somebody moved in your way to block you from seeing the truth. But that's not what we're talking about today. Seems so good, but today we're going to talk about something that as Christians you already all know about, and as a praying church you're already very good at it. When we first came to this church, a couple things that really stuck with us and made us stay is how genuine and transparent people were. And when we got prayed for, again, it was genuine, awesome prayer. And so it's funny, you were singing the song, Make Me a House of Prayer. I know it's me, it's an individual worship song, but I was singing it corporately, the whole each verse, Make Us a House of Prayer. And I think that we are. Along with reading a word, the reading of the word, it's the most important spiritual discipline that we practice. And there's a lot of different aspects to prayer, and what's been on my heart lately has been praying with the power of the Holy Spirit. And it came up when we had our prophetic class, not yesterday, but a week ago, Saturday. Kevin hosted this prophetic class, and in the midst of the discussion, we were talking about praying, you know, prophetically, and the question came up. So you're in a situation where you're, you know, maybe in a hospital room, or somebody asked you to pray in an instant, and you haven't had time to maybe wait, you know, for a direction or something specific from the Lord. And so we said, you know, a lot of times when you start off in that situation, you use what we call idle words, or it's just words that you've prayed before for someone that's sick or in need. And so that had been on my heart, because we pray for a lot of people when we go out in the street, and sometimes I pray the same prayer for people, and you wonder if they really are just idle words. So that was on a Saturday night, and the first thing that happened Monday morning, well, it was the second thing that happened. On my second sales call Monday morning, I walked in to this maintenance director's office, and this was at one of the biggest apartment complexes in Akron, and this guy is responsible for a big staff of maintenance people, and he's new on the job. He'd only been there a month, and I met him one time. A lot of pressure he was under. So I walked into his office, and he was on the phone arguing with his corporate people at his corporate office about his guys. They rotate who's on call. Somebody has to be on call every weekend for the maintenance team. So he was arguing about overtime hours for him and his guys and all this. And it was a tense call. When I walked in his office, I thought about leaving, but I hung around. I just made myself comfortable. And he holds the phone like this and looks at me and says, "This is BS." But he didn't use the initials. And, you know, so I hung out a little while. I knew he was saying, "Hey, I'll be done here in a minute and we'll talk." But I felt it was going to be an uncomfortable sales call. And so he hangs up the phone and he looks at me and he says, "How's it going?" But he did not have any interest on how it was going for me. He was still processing, you know, what was happening. And I said, "Hey, I know it's a bad time." The first time I met him, he asked me to bring some stuff into the shop. And I said, "I brought this stuff. I'll just leave it and get out of here." And he said, "Boy, it's been a rough week." So he's continuing the conversation. As soon as he says, "Boy, it's been a rough week," I don't know if you've ever had this. If you slowly start to see things unfold ahead of you, I knew what was coming.
Yeah.
And so he points to his calendar. So they have what they call turns, and it's when somebody moves out of an apartment, they have to turn it before the next person can move in, and it's carpet, it's painting, it's changing fixtures, it's a lot of things. It takes days. He had 9 of them in 1 week. He points to all these move-outs, and he said, "I had a guy who was already off for vacation. Another guy called off, so he's telling me how shorthanded he is and how rough it's going to be." And then I said, "Man, that's rough. Can I take anything off your plate?" I said, "You know, I'll order some of these supplies. I know what you use on all your turns." And so we talked about that for a while. And then I could see him still. He was just kind of shaking his head and closing his eyes. And his face was turning red. He pulled his hat, ball cap down over his face. And he started to cry. Second time I met the guy. And he's choking up and he says, "My dad had a stroke last Thursday." He's pointing to the calendar, all these move outs each day, and he pokes his finger right in Thursday and says, "My dad had a stroke." So I was still standing up in front of his desk, and I sat down. I said, "Again, I see where it's going." And so we talk about that for a while. It's his dad's second stroke. We talk about how old he is and what was happening and where he was at. And so I knew things were lining up for me to pray for the guy. Started thinking about our Saturday meeting and some of the things we talked about when you're, you know, and what am I gonna say? It's going through my head. And so we talked a little bit, and then he says, "And get this." As soon as he says, "And get this," I knew it was the triple whammy. So he had pressure at work that he couldn't handle, sickness at home. And so what do you think the third leg of the triple crown was? His girl left him. And, I'm about ready to cry too. He tells me about their relationship, and I'm like, he's unloading more in 5 minutes. And I'm starting to feel a little overwhelmed. What am I going to pray with? And I'm thinking, this is how he feels. Everything's coming at him in 5 minutes. He's ready to quit his job. It sounds like his dad was his closest and best friend and his girlfriend, and it's all gone. So, again, I only met him a couple times, and so we pray with people in the street, and we only meet him one time, maybe, and you say, "Is it okay that I pray for you?" But I just looked at him and I said, "Would it freak you out if I said a prayer for you or with you?" And he leaned up on his desk and he pointed all 4 fingers at me and he said, "Funny you should ask that." And he said, I don't pray. He said, "I just prayed this morning."
Oh my gosh. That's awesome.
"Just for a sign." He said, I didn't hear anything. He said, "I just asked. I wanted to know that somebody knew what I was going through."
Oh my gosh.
"And heard my prayer."
Oh, wow. Wow, 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 wow.
So, you know, we lifted up, I said, you know, if it's destined for your relationship to be restored, then we went there and we prayed over his father and went through it all. And he gave me his cell phone later. I texted him later on that night and he said, "You have no idea where I was and, you know, and what happened today." But I didn't hear, so going back to our prophetic meeting and praying, I didn't hear any, you know, anything specific as I was sitting there, what to pray for him. I prayed what I prayed for, many other times for people who had relationship issues or job issues or health issues, the same kind of idle words that we say. So my point is that, and I wouldn't say this was anything miraculous, but miraculous things happen just out of our obedience. I think you told a story about fumbling and stumbling through a sinner's prayer for somebody once when you were young, and they ended up, they accepted Christ. And so it takes some of the pressure off us, not to worry about it, but just to be obedient and start with whatever words. Not that they were insignificant, but to me they were. I didn't hear an audible voice from the Lord, but obviously he had set that up. The other thing is, these offices are always really busy. He's got a desk, there's an assistant with a phone always ringing, and they're connected to a shop where there's tools and benches, and the other guys are coming. There was one guy that came in and, got some tools and supplies and left, but they're always, the place had emptied out. And so I knew God had totally set this up. Just to put me in a situation, not about me, not about my words, but for him to accomplish his task through prayer. Kevin put it really well at this meeting on prophecy, this teaching, that we operate in two dimensions. We can be in the physical realm with somebody and at the same time be operating in the spiritual realm with the Father. And that's what I'm talking about in prayer. No PowerPoint this morning. We only have one verse in Ephesians 6:18, and it's only two sentences. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." So Paul wrote this. This was right before verse 18 was the whole put on the armor of God. And so after he finishes with all the armor that we're to put on and to stand your ground, getting ready for battle, he talks about a couple things. First, the word. The word is your sword. It's a weapon. And then he goes on to this verse about prayer. So it's also one of our weapons. And whether you're praying for salvation for your president or somebody in your family, or you're praying against something like abortion, prayer connects us to the Father when we pray with that power of the Holy Spirit. So Paul says, pray in the Spirit. And I started thinking about this, and I try to make that connection with the relationships I have with people here on earth. And I don't know if you ever feel like you have a spiritual connection with somebody. You should have it with your spouse. But we can have spiritual relationships with one another, and we have that confidence that even when things are failing, you'll always know that person's there to lift you up. You have confidence in those types of spiritual relationships that you have, and that's what you should have with the Father. If you go to him often enough and you're open with him, you should have that confidence that he's going to be there when all things are failing. If your heart is submissive, you go to him in word and you pray in the Spirit, these things will be true. In Romans 8:31, it says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" So we're told there as well that a spiritual relationship with God is one that gives us the confidence that we won't be shaken when the circumstances around us change. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And the maintenance engineer that I prayed for was in a spiritual battle. He needed strength and courage, and in fact, those were some of the words that I prayed for strength for him, and then he told me later that night in that text, he said, strength is one of the things I asked for strength and courage when I prayed that morning. So it really hit him with those words. And I told him, you know, your prayer was answered. You'll have the strength that you need to endure these things. So for me, that connection with what happened in that circumstances, those words again seemed, just the words seemed insignificant, but they were obviously guided by the Holy Spirit. And I felt, without anything that I did or heard, that I was praying in the Spirit, thanks to God. So Paul also states in this verse to be alert. And the definition of alert is it's a state of being watchful for possible danger. So when you hear that, the word alert, and you think of a couple phrases, the first thing that came to my mind was high alert or red alert. And they're usually military terms, warnings for the soldiers to be in a certain state of, you know, a more heightened alertness or awareness. And then I also thought this could be a reference to the disciples falling asleep in the garden. They weren't alert. And I'm not sure, I've never really heard that taught, but I didn't want to overthink it. That's kind of what it meant to me when I feel if I haven't been alert. So I want to read that in Matthew 26, starting in verse 36. And this is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to the disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, then your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping. Their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed a third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? The hour has come. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." So they obviously weren't alert. And I don't know, when you hear that story, do you feel sorry for Jesus or do you feel sorry for the disciples? I got to confess, I always felt a little sorry for the disciples. For me, when it's time to shut down, there's nothing I can do to stay awake. And I always remember in my Catholic picture Bible that I grew up with, a garden. It looked so lush, and it was nighttime, and there's a moon rising. I mean, it looked like it'd be pretty easy to fall asleep there. My mom would read that to me going to bed, so I'd look at that picture and fall asleep. I consider myself a thankful person, and I go throughout the day, and I give gratitude for a lot of things, and I give thanks to the Lord. So I do communicate a lot, and I repent of things throughout the day. But when it comes time for that, you know, that prayer it's always set aside at night, it's, you know, my laziness comes into play, and this isn't good, but I often save my nighttime prayer for when I'm in bed. And again, I'm one that falls asleep quickly. So I have an agenda in my heart that I want to pray to the Lord, but I usually make it to item number one, and then I fall asleep. So I'm meditating on this verse about being alert, and I think we need to have that same sense of urgency and alertness, whether it's you're thanking God, or it's those prayers you say at night, or whether you're in person praying for somebody. So I'm just going to take a different posture when I do my prayers from this point on, and focus on that, on those things, on connecting with the power of the Holy Spirit and with being alert. And the last thing I want to read in the King James Version of Ephesians 6:18, it says, "Pray always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints." So we have the Holy Spirit, alertness, and then I just want to define perseverance. It says persistence in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. And I thought about the times Pam had a testimony last week of something she prayed for years and years, and finally came true. And I know we all have similar things we think about. But in the midst of that waiting, I know we often get discouraged and our faith becomes weak. In Luke 18, it says, Jesus told the disciples a parable to show them how they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with this plea. She said, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' And for some time he refused, but finally said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" So we see from that scripture that God's a good judge, and he's eager to give justice and mercy to those who persevere. So sometimes, again, we may not hear or have feel we have this prophetic connection, but sometimes it's happening in the midst of things. And sometimes we fail in being alert, but God is gracious and merciful. And again, sometimes we have to wait, and our perseverance is tested. So I'm kind of new to all these things. The connection to God wasn't one of the things that I was raised with. So I was raised Catholic. Again, not bashing them, but we had a lot of things that we recited, you know, as prayers every day. I've told you this before, our grace, I could do it in 5 seconds flat. And not an exaggeration, I prayed it for probably 10 years before I realized this was a set of words, thanking God, you know, for our dinner. But so I had 3 brothers, and we took turns every night saying grace. And it was, "Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts which we are about to receive from the bounty of Christ our Lord. Amen." One. And it was like 10 years. I said, "Bless us, O Lord, for these gifts which we're about to receive." So we're thanking them for dinner. Never knew it. I was like 10 years old.
It's true.
And some other things. And they were beautiful prayers, but we just recited them. And so I didn't have that understanding and connection with the Lord in my prayers. We went around the house. At least now we just say, "Bless you." When you sneezed in my house, it was, do you remember? I can't remember now. I don't know, but you were "Bless you in the name of our Lord, and may no harm come to you. Amen." You said a prayer like that every time someone sneezed, and I'm like, "What?" And So that was growing up, and then I fell away from the church for years, but when Pam and I got married, so we just started going to a Methodist church out there in Bayard, and we became friends with the pastor and wife and started understanding about praying for people and you know how to pray from your heart and the things that we found when we came here too. So we're part of a church that prays for one another and does it well. We prayed today before we even started announcements. I hear testimony of often, especially Jeannie, you're praying at Walmart. I call that the praying Walmart. Now, you know, you got Alliance Walmart, you got Canton Walmart. You know, yours is the praying Walmart. But again, prayer is a spiritual discipline, and even though I think we do it as well as anybody, it's something that needs to continually be cultivated and watered. And so this was a short message, but I want to close and ask you all to participate in an exercise in prayer, but not an exercise. I mean, to participate in some real prayer that we've already been doing and worshiped or worship songs. And we've done some other things where we just kind of pray. But I noticed when at the beginning when we said, raise your hands if you have something, you know, that concerns you. And I think every hand was raised.